this week's sermon from C3 Church Narara. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
Genesis chapter 2, verse 4. This is the account of heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord made the earth and the heavens. Now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. But the streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. I want to talk today, church, about what it is and what we are as living beings. A while ago now, I was playing a lot of rugby. And if you know rugby, I played in the forward pack, which is generally a little bit more physical. And one of the weird quirks of playing in the forward pack is that your head gets kind of squished in scrums. Really, it's a really weird sort of experience. And I came off the field one day and my ear had turned into this disgusting cauliflower ear, basically. If you don't know what that looks like, just Google it and you'll see why I immediately went to the doctor. And it's disgusting, it swells up and it's permanent. And so I went to the doctor. And I was in the army, so we had doctors on the base. There was like a little mini hospital on a lot of the large bases. And I showed him what it was, and basically the way you can fix it is you actually cut it a little bit and all the sort of blood and pus and disgustingness will come out of it. And I explained this to him because I've seen it done. I think I'd done it to a friend once with a razor. And I explained it to him, and he was kind of like, didn't understand what I was saying. And I remember I YouTubed it in front of him. I was like, look, just do that. Like, he was like, oh, okay, yes, all right. So anyway, so he's there and he gets a scalpel and he cuts. And I remember thinking that hurt way more than I expected. Like it should just be a little, you know, slit with a razor. Anyway, and like it was all kind of mangled and it was cut already as well. It wasn't looking great. Anyway, and then he kind of stopped. He was like, I don't think that's really all very good. I'm like, what do you mean? And I remember there was a mirror there. And I remember, like, I was facing forward and I didn't really want to look. So I was like, ugh. And I turned my head to look at the mirror and my ear went. And, like, hit my cheek. And I was kind of angry. I remember telling him, I was like, you cut my ear off. You've cut my ear off. And I remember him saying, no, it's fine. It's fine. Look, what we'll do is we'll call an ambulance. And I remember saying out loud, I'm like, an ambulance? You're a doctor. And so I stormed out. Like I grabbed like some napkins or something and like just stormed out, got in my car and drove like 100 k's an hour I was in Canberra and drove to the emergency department and I'm like driving, just blood going down everywhere now. I was already in a rugby jersey and short shorts and thongs. So I'm not like the picture of like, so, and now I like walk into the ED and everyone's kind of looking at it like, okay, well, like, you know, when you go to the ED and there's people that obviously need to be there and then there's other people and you're kind of like, well, you look okay. Like, can I wait until the GP tomorrow? But I'm not judging. Anyway, so I walk in and it's like, well, he needs to be here. There's blood like all the way down. And he's like holding his thing. I'm like, hello, my ear has been cut off. And like, okay, take a seat. It's okay. And I sat there for like 6 hours. I was so annoyed. And I'm like, it was like 10 o'clock at night. And I remember just going, so do I come back tomorrow? Like, what's going on? Yeah, okay, look, we'll book you in with this, like, your defense. Oh, you got this, like, special program or something, and it was like an annoying administrative problem. And I remember very clearly, like, okay, sign this thing and we'll book you in tomorrow for surgery or something. I remember I was holding this napkin bloody thing on my ear, and I'm like, well, I'm right-handed, so I had to like switch hands to sign. Anyway, so I mean, I went to a lot of effort to get my ear like fixed and put back on, and it's kind of okay now. Headphones don't really fit in it, but it's okay. But why did I do that? Obviously, because you want your ear to look fine, even if the functionality makes no difference, really. And the reason is because, you know, I wanted to get it fixed because I'm not just driving this body around. Like, I am my body, you know? Like, that's not just, like, the ear that God attached to me. That's my ear, you know? And so really the point I want to get, and what is mentioned in Genesis, is that your body is not a shell. I think in one of those songs it says this bag of bones. I don't think that's actually accurate. I'll criticize the theology of that that writer, but that's okay. He was probably a musician. Your body is not a shell. You're not driving this body around for 90 years. You are your body. It's the scripture says that Adam came alive. His consciousness was there when Lord breathed life into body. It didn't say a living soul inhabited the body. No, no, it says it breathed life and the man became a living being. Yeah? It's a simplification to think we are souls, these immaterial, eternal beings, and we're just driving around this meat sack for 90 years, and then our true form is in heaven, which is immaterial, and we won't have bodies, right? But that is not the case. In the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament describe them a little differently, but the concept is the same. In the Old Testament, which is in the Hebrew, the word is used embodied souls. So there's a Hebrew word called nephesh, which is translated to soul, literally means a living being. So you are a living being, your soul being a combination of your immaterial self and your material self. You're not just one of those things, and one of them is this thing that's just going to go away. The New Testament uses the word, the Greek uses the word psyche, which is where we get the word psych, psychology and all that, which is the soul and the soma, which is the body. They are different things, but the combination of those things makes you human. Now, you may think, yes, but one of those things is temporary, right? Like it dies, so we only have it for, you know, 80, 90 years or so. That's true, but it's actually not for eternity, which we will live without a body. Yeah? We will die. Our souls will live on, but that part is temporary because when Jesus returns, it says that we will be resurrected with a new body. So our true self is to have a body for eternity. Our combination of a body and soul is what makes us human. It's not, yeah, this is just a temporary thing, whatever. I go without some busted up ear, doesn't matter. It does matter. And so I think that there is a recognition that our society, Western society now, focuses too much on the body, and that's vanity. And so I think it's natural as Christians to reject the overbearing nature of vanity, but then sometimes swings too far into one side where we just view our bodies as just whatever, and it's all just about our soul and how we think. But it's really not the case. It is just as important that we recognize our bodies as part of ourselves that it is to recognize our souls. And so recognizing that we are equal parts body and psyche and soul, I want to take some time to talk about taking care of your physical body. You're not a shell. So 1 Corinthians 6, this is the classic scripture for this. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Honor God with your bodies. It's an interesting dichotomy in the army about how you have to take care of your body, but also just abuse it like a punching bag at times. One of the fittest soldiers I knew, he would run marathons and he was just lean and he was just the craziest fitness guy. He would do all kinds of cross-country runs and he'd do these workouts that would last like 2 hours. I was just like, absolutely insane. But I remember when I'd go out field with him, he hated waking up early in the morning, which is every morning in the army. And he would wake up in his sleeping bag and he would sit up and he just looked like death through his eyes. And he'd pull his sleeping bag down, just angry with the world. And he would light a cigarette and crack a can of Red Bull before he got out of his sleeping bag and smoke and drink a Red Bull. That was his breakfast every morning. And yet he would run like ultra marathons and stuff. So he would just be destroying that. To be fair though, I actually thought he was about 40. Turned out he was not even 30. So like it was so bad. It was just burning the candle at both ends. Your body is a temple and we should treat it as like that. I think we've got to recognize the context of which this is written as well. You know, the temple, when this was written, was the place for the presence of God. The place. This was before Jesus came and is the new temple. Oh, the context of that was people were used to. Corinthians, now Jesus had come. But generally the context was the temple is where God is. That's where people understood God to be. It wasn't, well, a church where anyone can meet and enter the presence of God. No, it was just the temple, the singular temple. And there is a huge reference that came with that. You read through the Old Testament, like the presence of God, if you're not supposed to be there, it will kill you. Like a candle in front of the sun, I remember was the analogy I got used to. And I don't think we really have places of reverence like that anymore, but perhaps to consider when it says, you know, your body is a temple, consider like the war memorial when you go there and there's the Temple of the Unknown Soldier. Everything, you're just walking into a room and yet everyone is suddenly more solemn and quiet. Imagine the outrage if someone vandalized it, graffitied it or something. Like there's a reverence that goes in those places. Maybe cemeteries has a little bit of reverence still. We don't really have these places of reverence anymore. But we should be treating our bodies like that. We should be treating them like that. So sinning with your body is damaging to the soul. They are linked, yeah? They are entwined. You know, adultery is a physical act, but it's damaging to the soul because we are both our soul and our body combined. We cannot separate the two. We cannot separate these things. And so the same is about taking care of your body is good for the soul. In my regular day job, we deal with like people asking for help with stress and anxiety a lot. And it's something like 80% of the people, like maybe even more like 90%, don't end up speaking to a counselor or a psych. They speak to just the nurse because most of the time the nurse is going to ask, what time are you going to bed and what are you eating? And they're going to say something outlandish. And the nurse is going to say, okay, go to bed at 10 p.m., wake up in the morning and go for a walk and come back tomorrow. And they're like, I feel so much better. I feel so much better. Yeah, because your body is linked to your soul. And there are so many issues could come forward if you don't take care of your body. And so taking care of your body is really two things. It is very simple, but also really hard work. I think that there is an overbearing nature. You go on social media and you look up fitness programs and you look up diet. It is insanely confusing, like comically confusing. But it's really like, I can speak with a little bit of experience. It's not that complicated. It's just a lot of hard work. Yeah, it is kind of a grind. And so the simplicity of it is really just avoiding the pitfalls of all the things to abuse your body. Avoid gluttony, avoid drugs, alcoholism, those disgusting, crazy body mutilation things. I don't know why my social media keeps popping up with people that have like turned their face into tattooed of a tiger or something crazy like that, you know, like all that weirdness, or a million piercings. Right? So avoid those things. And then also just eat a balanced diet. That's really the basis of all of it. Don't overthink it. And it sounds simple, but it is hard. I mean, Lara would know. I can quite easily eat maybe four times the amount that a normal person would if I want to. Like, I'm like a hobbit, you know, second breakfast. I can eat a lot. I know that. Like, there's sort of a point where I'm like, well, I don't need to eat anymore. And I could quite comfortably eat like a whole pizza after that easily and enjoy it. Like, before I get to like, oh, I'm sick phase. So I'm very conscious about like, okay, I just need to chill out on eating too much or just eating like a whole bag of lollies, which I still kind of succumb to, I'll be honest about that one. But it is difficult, okay? It is difficult. It's a grind to keep yourself in shape. I mean, when my alarm goes off early in the mornings, 99% of the time, I do not want to get up to do an exercise of any kind whatsoever. And you remember the scripture, it says, going back, honor God with your bodies. You are not your own. You're bought at a price. It is your duty. Yeah? It's not just good for you, but it is your duty as a Christian honoring God to honor him with your body as well. And it doesn't always feel good. It gets more frustrating the older I get as well. And also I have way less reasons now to take care of my body than I did when I was younger and I'm playing sport and doing all this stuff. Now I'm like, why do I need to be fit? What's the point of that? I can just walk to my car and drive and that's it. But it is important to honor God with your body. My other point here is to worship God with your body. I have spent a fair bit of time repairing the damage I have done to my body at certain times, some fairly damaging events like the ear. I remember another time playing rugby again, and I remember stepping like this and pushing someone away like this, and I felt something a little weird here and kind of fell over. And then I remember looking down at my foot and I was looking at the studs of my shoe. The studs are supposed to be on the bottom, right? And so my ankle had turned all the way around and I was looking at the bottom of my foot. And I was like, it shouldn't be bending that way. And then I should have probably listened to the doctors and been like, you needed like 6 months off and all this. I went out field like 3 weeks after that and I just put all this strapping tape and braces on it and wearing boots. And then I was getting cortisone shots every month into it. And then I had to have like, it like fused and I had to get bones scraped out of it. It was just like, you just went too much. Like you just abused it. And now it's kind of okay now, except I can't bend it a certain way. So if I walk up hills, I kind of have to like walk with it at an angle because it doesn't bend all the way up. So I look like a clubfoot walking up the Terrigal Skillion. Anyway, so, but caring for your body is part of worship. It's how you can worship God with your physical life. Romans 12 says, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is spiritual worship. And see the connection there. Present your bodies, which is a spiritual worship. Yeah? They are in the same sentence. Yes, they are. It is intrinsically linked that a physical act is spiritual worship. And the context of this is Romans 12. Romans 1 through 11, which I won't read the whole thing, he has just spent 11 chapters explaining God's mercy and grace through the gospel with justification that is given to us freely and salvation through Christ. And so this is really the therefore. He pivots after explaining God's grace is given to us freely. Very new concept for everyone in this context. But therefore, offer yourselves to God and present your bodies. The whole person, the whole of us. This does not just mean your spirit and I just meditate on Christ and I'm good to go. It is your whole person, which is your physical body too. Yeah, everything physical, your time, your habits, sexuality, your speech, your work, how you rest, everything physical. So what does this mean in practice? It is purity. It's honoring God with self-control, your sexuality. It's presence. It's showing up physically. Yeah, showing up physically and worshiping physically. We actually sing. Yeah, We don't just stand there and just meditate like Puritans. No, we are physically singing to God. We are physically playing instruments. It is showing up compassion, being compassionate to people. It's discipline. It's stewarding your health, having habits that are healthy. It's resting well. And it's embodied prayer. Yeah? It's embodied prayer. It's kneeling. It's praying. It's closing your eyes. It's fasting, another physical thing to bring us closer to God. Yeah? And it's celebrating. Yeah? Physical celebrations over Easter and Christmas. These are physical acts to worship God. Thomas Aquinas said, "The soul is not the whole man, but a part of the man. And so the soul by itself is not the man. My soul is not I." He's saying, I am not just my soul. Spiritual acts are embodied with the same way that we pray with our lips and serve with our hands. And so you need to consider what you're saying is going to have an effect on your soul. Yeah? What you say and what you do is going to affect your soul. It is basically, the definition of a positive feedback loop. You know, the healthier you get, the easier it is to keep that habit up. Yep. The godlier your actions are with your body, so the closer your soul will come to God, and therefore the easier it is to do godlier and more beautiful acts with your body. Yeah, it becomes a positive feedback cycle. But the inverse is true. Yeah? The more you slip into bad habits with your body, pushing yourself away from God, the easier it becomes to slip into those bad habits, to slip away from church, to slip away from prayer, praying. Yeah? I've been, drinking too much or smoking too much or just lying all the time and doing all these things that are just abusing my body, and that has an effect on your soul. And all of this, look, I'm focusing a lot on the body and why we should take care of it. But, virtue is the balance between two extremes. We should take care of our body, but not obsess over it, yeah? But that is generally another message for another time, okay? So don't obsess over the body and that becomes your fixation and you neglect your soul. These things need to be in balance with each other. And that's what I'm saying here. It's easy for us to forget that and focus only on one side of it. The body is not an obstacle to worship, whipping it into submission like a stoic freak. It's an instrument of worship. It is how we can worship God here on this physical earth. Let's get the band up. So I think we have probably mentioned this guy. He must be the second most mentioned person outside of the Bible. So Eric Liddell. He must be. He comes up like every 6 months, but what a champion. Anyway, Chariots of Fire. Go watch the movie. It's a good one. Anyway, his athleticism wasn't just vanity and, yeah, great, I'm a fast runner and that's cool and all. It was worship. And we know that because he said it. His running, his physical excellence. So he ran in the Olympics. You can look up the story. In fact, I think there's a little brochure at the back that has Eric Liddell. So there you go. It was an offering to God. And when he was asked why he ran, he said, "I believe God made me for a purpose, but he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure." Church, your body is not a shell. Yeah? Protect it. Think about what you can do with it to honor God. Take care of it like a temple. It's not something that we're just given as an extension. You're not just driving a car around and you can switch it out. You are part of that body as much as your soul. And in eternity, we'll be given a new body. Hopefully, the best version, the 24-year-old version of ourselves, yeah? Yeah? So hopefully that 24-year-old version of you was good, okay, and you took care of it, yeah? So as we think about this, church, I want you to really consider how it is in your week-to-week, Monday through to Friday, into Saturday, and not just here focusing on the grace of God, but how you can physically act in a way that benefits your soul and brings you closer to God. Yeah? Take care of it. Honor God with your worship through your body. Let's pray. God, thank you for your blessing. God, thank you for your anointing. Thank you for gifting us these bodies and forming us, God, as humans to live on this earth and honoring you with everything we do. Lord, you became flesh. You didn't inhabit a flesh. You became flesh, a human. Lord, we thank you for sending your son Jesus, a human on earth here, to die for our sins and to give us eternal life, to live with you in eternity. And Lord, help us overcome the temptations of the flesh, whatever our challenges may be, whatever we face every day. Help us overcome those things, Lord, and honor you with our bodies, our actions, how we talk. Lord, we thank you and we love you. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's sermon. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.